Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library. How are you doing this week? I hope you are better this week. I know I'm better this week. I was not good last week, and as I said, I will spare you the gory details, but suffice to say, things are fine, everything's working the way it should be working in this stupid, ridiculous meat body of mine, and, you know, I'm on time. I'm back on time, the podcast is back on schedule, so everything's cool. That's all you really need to know. Other than that, things continue as they go. We're having a school festival tomorrow, which should be interesting and fun, I hope. Kids are putting a lot of work into it. They're really putting their hearts and their minds and getting really invested in this festival and setting up for it and making sure it's fun, which means, of course, they're not doing their work quite as diligently as they might otherwise. But, you know, you're only a teenager once if you're lucky. So, why don't we get right into this week's book? What the heck? Now, I told you last week, I gave you kind of a vague clue, because honestly, I think it's kind of an obscure book. But I said it had to do with superheroes and supervillains, and it's not a comic, and it is fiction. And unfortunately, I did not get a correct guess this week, but that's okay, because I was not entirely clear. I probably should have come up with something better. The book this week is by Austin Grossman, and the title is Soon I Will Be Invincible. And here's a pretty rough summation of the book, which is this. It ain't easy being super, right? You might be a hero, like Fatal. All right, Fatal is the latest in cyborg technology. She's a woman who was nearly destroyed in a freak accident, rebuilt by a mysterious corporation, and made into the perfect living weapon. She is fast, she is strong, and for a while she was one of the U.S. government's best operatives. But now she's on her own. And life is tough as a cyborg. You got parts to deal with, you need to keep your power source going. And of course, it's hard to enjoy a night out when everyone keeps staring at the half-metal woman in the booth near the window. But Fatal wants to be a hero, and the recent reformation of the Champions is just what she needs. If she can prove herself to this team, she can find a whole new purpose in her life. Now, if you're not a hero, then maybe you could be a villain, all right? Dr. Impossible has certainly lived up to his name. In his many years of villainy, he has come up with just about every nefarious scheme an evil, quasi-invulnerable genius can cook up in his twisted, malevolent brain. He has been to the past and to the future. He has swapped brains with the greatest heroes of his age. He has escaped from inescapable prisons more than once. Of all the would-be conquerors on Earth, Impossible is the one who would be voted most likely to succeed. And yet, he isn't happy. His life isn't what he thought it would be, and it honestly doesn't take a genius to see that Dr. Impossible has a few problems that even his great genius cannot solve. Now, when Impossible breaks out of prison, again, the Champions reform to hunt him down. With old and new members joining together to keep the flame of heroism alive in their world, the Champions are determined to find Impossible and shut him down for good. Now, the only problem is that the person who has always succeeded against Impossible, the hero who calls himself Corefire, is missing. Without him, their chances are greatly diminished. Against an evil genius like Impossible, who can defeat the team armed with little more than his wits and a false tooth, you want to throw everything you can at him. And what's more, the internal tensions pulling at the Champions may defeat them before Dr. Impossible even gets the chance to try. Now this book, like so many modern renditions of superheroes, has its roots in Alan Moore's Watchmen. Now while he was not the first one to make his superheroes less than super, he was certainly the best, and his work is well remembered for that. After Moore was done with Watchmen, it was hard to think of superheroes as entirely pure and good and noble. We could see the tensions between them, the neuroses that drove them to do what they do, and we began to understand that our heroes were just like us, only more so. And ever since then, writers have been trying to de-super the superheroes and make them into regular people who just happen to be able to shoot lasers out of their eyes or break the laws of thermodynamics or bend steel in their bare hands. Now Grossman has taken full advantage of the work that's gone before him in this novel. The story is told from the alternating perspectives of Dr. Impossible and Fatal, and proceeds to deconstruct both the heroes and the villains in visceral, raw detail. You know, what's it like, after all, to be a cyborg, something halfway between human and superhuman? And how can you join a team like the Champions, a team of legends among legends, and feel up to the task. What happens when you realize the heroes that you looked up to for so long are really just as human as you are, or at least as you used to be? Now, on the other side, what makes a villain what he is? What happened to Dr. Impossible that put him on the ever-unfulfilled path to world domination? Was he destined for it? Or was it a series of choices, insignificant at the time, that led him to where he was? How did his genius get turned to evil? And what, if anything, keeps him going? Now, the problem with deconstructing superheroes, other than it's been done before, is that once you've deconstructed them, there's really nothing left. You know, being a superhero is a fundamentally irrational career choice. Watchmen hinted pretty heavily at this, since all the heroes in that story have been pretty well messed up by their days in tights. There are so many problems that crop up once the spandex and the mask are put on that you may find it's not worth the effort. There's legal issues, financial problems, time constraints, and the unstable relationships. What does this choice say about your state of mind? What kind of person can take up the job of costumed hero and stay sane? When you come right down to it, even if you have superpowers, there are so many other ways you can use them that are less risky and more beneficial to humanity than getting into fistfights that destroy city blocks. And the same goes for villainy. So often in comics you see bad guys with technology that is amazing in its scope. I mean, Captain Cold, he's a Flash villain, and he's got a freeze ray which would make him rich if he patented it and licensed derivative technologies. Much richer than if he ever succeeded at using this freeze gun to rob jewelry stores. Dr. Doom builds machines that are so far beyond current science that he could rule his own country. Oh, wait, he does. Instead of single-mindedly trying to destroy Reed Richards. Lex Luthor would be grinding his teeth in envy over the power that Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg or even Rush Limbaugh have on the real world, and none of them have a would-be Kryptonian conqueror to spur them on, either. I mean, that's the secret heart of superhero stories. They rest on fundamentally irrational choices. Take away those urges to help or harm, and you're left with simple absurdity. That's kind of where this book falls down. You know, there's a lot of navel-gazing and deconstructing going on in this story from all angles, and if you like that kind of thing, then it's the kind of thing you'll like, you know? Between Fatal and Dr. Impossible, they pretty much reason away any good reasons for getting into the game as hero or villain. And yet, here they are. Impossible, honestly, is the worst of the two. His narration shows him to be an insightful, intelligent, and fairly well-grounded man who could probably become one of the most powerful men on Earth through conventional means. And yet, even knowing that it's probably a waste of time, he continues with his grand scheme, and in this case it's gravitationally manipulating the distance between the moon and the Earth so as to hold the Earth hostage. He knows he's going to lose. He knows there are better ways to be effectively evil that don't involve getting a metahuman punch in the face. He knows when he's acting in a stereotypically villainous way, and yet he persists, and usually in the most cliched way possible. He spouts these comic book villain monologues and even has an island fortress from which he operates. I mean, neither Fatal nor Impossible, nor any of the good guys or bad guys we meet, seem especially happy doing what they're doing. And what's more, they know they're not happy. Dr. Impossible even goes so far as to state it explicitly during his moment of triumph. He says, "For a second, I find myself at the fulcrum point of creation. God, I'm so unhappy." Well, you know, if you're such a genius, then perhaps you might be able to make better choices than this. I mean, there's the paradox of this book. The more human you try to make these characters, the less believable their story becomes. You can't be both human and superhuman at the same time. It takes a very, very skilled writer to pull that trick off, and I don't think Grossman is there yet. He tells a very interesting story, and a very entertaining story, full of pretty much every single comic book trope you can think of, which entertained me to no end, because I love my comic books. The problem is that by the time you get to the finale, the unstable foundation of the story starts to show. How much you'll enjoy the story really depends on how good you are at filtering out all that deconstruction, which means kind of missing the point of the whole book. That the only way to really enjoy superheroes is to accept them at face value and avoid deconstructing them. So, yeah. Good luck with that. All right. So let me give you the quote from the book. Dr. Impossible monologues throughout the whole thing, so there's all sorts of good lines from him. He says, When you get your powers, you learn a lot about yourself. My professors called me mad. It was time for me to stop punishing myself and start punishing everybody else. That is Dr. Impossible from Soon I Will Be Invincible. I will say one thing for being a supervillain. Yes, you lose. Yes, you get punched in the face, you get locked in big old prisons, but you do get some of the best lines. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that, and, you know, pick up the book. It's a fun read, and if you're into comic book culture, and if you're into reading comic books and kind of trying to get into the heads of the characters, then you'll probably enjoy this book somewhat. So, next week, I picked next week's book. I thought I had done next week's book already, but it turned out I hadn't. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, I picked next week's book in honor of all the stuff that's going on in New York City right now. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, there's this movement called Occupy Wall Street, which is pretty much what they've done. A whole bunch of protesters have gone down to Wall Street, and they're going to stay there until something happens. And what exactly it is that they expect to happen is not yet clear, but pretty much it is their way of telling the Wall Street high financiers and bankers that we know what they're up to. You know, we know what they're doing, and we know what effect it's having on the country, it's having on the world, and we want them to stop. Next week's book is why they won't stop. So, let me just tell you that much. It made me very, very angry to read it, but at the same time, it told me exactly what I already believed, which kind of made me a little suspicious. So, if you can guess next week's book, then congratulations, you will win a dead mortgage. There we go. All right, I think that is about it. I've got some other stuff to do tonight. I've got some writing to do. It's garbage night. You know how these things go. And then tomorrow, new release of DC Comics. Woohoo! So that's always good. Anyway, I hope that you have a great week. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Do something fun and exciting and creative. And I will talk to you again next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org. Along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.